Hello, everybody, and welcome to the final episode of Every Horror Movie on Netflix, the podcast where we watch, review, and discuss every horror movie on Netflix. I'm Patrick, and I'm here for the last time with my co-hosts, Allison with a Y.
Hello.
And Allison with an I.
Hey, I have the plague.
We are recording this on New Year's Eve. Because Allison with an I has had the plague, we had to reschedule a little bit. But I think we're still going to get this episode to you today on New Year's Eve. If not, you know,
happy New Year's Day.
Happy New Year's Day, I guess.
Oh.
No, I'm getting it out tonight if
Damn.
I can. If I can.
Ambitious.
We'll okay.
But again, if not, happy New Year's Day. We are here for our final episode of the podcast. If you didn't tune in last time, we are winding things down for a couple reasons. As I mentioned last episode, I've hit some burnout. I've been doing this for 220 some episodes, 8 years. And more importantly, the thing that kind of pushed me over the edge was this ongoing kind of merger process between Warner Brothers Discovery and Netflix, which, as of last episode, it was looking like that might not actually happen because Paramount made a competitive hostile bid, but it looks like Warner Brothers is not probably not having that. They're going with Netflix, it appears. So I feel extra justified because the thing that was really worrying me as far as the state of the industry and Netflix's place in it looks like it is in fact happening. So I feel less enthused than ever before about reviewing every horror movie on Netflix.
And to be fair, Paramount would have been worse, but yes. Like, this is still bad.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they decided to go with the slightly less evil empire. And, you know, who knows? There may still be more plot developments in that whole saga, but regardless, we're winding things down today with a final year-in-review episode. Since 2018, we've done this at the end of every year where we give out the Amon Awards. So today we are going to make our picks for our favorite movie that we watched for the podcast this year, our least favorite movie that we watched for the podcast this year, our favorite new horror release that came out in theaters this year, completely unrelated to the podcast, our favorite horror discovery of this year. So that could be a piece of horror media in, you know, books, movies, whatever, what have you, from any year, just something you learned about this year and really, really enjoyed. And then we're going to wrap things up, as always, for the last time, with the coveted, extremely important Spirit of Jay Award. And I'll explain what the hell that is for one last time at the end of the show. Suffice to say, it has a history that goes way, way back in the show. But I just want to note, too, before we start, that I have poured the ceremonial cup of Auld Lang Syne. and actually, there was an old joke with old co-hosts Chris and Steven that Auld Lang Syne is not only a drink, but also was like the combination, like the mixed drink of all our favorite drinks, which I'm like 2/3 of the way there already, at least in my stomach. I made a weird liquor mixed drink. Actually, not that weird, but I enjoy a mixed drink, so I did that. I'm drinking a glass of chilled white wine right now, which reminds us of old co-host Steven. And I actually have on my table next to me, queued up, just in case I get to it on this episode, a Labatt Blue, which is Chris's old favorite drink. So with all that preamble out of the way, you guys ready to give out some awards?
Let's do it.
All right. So we are going to kick things off today with the best Amon movie of the year. So we watched, I don't know, 50-some movies or something, 40-some movies for the podcast this year, all horror movies on Netflix. We're going to individually pick our favorite one. Allison with an I. Our invalid, would you like to lead off with your your favorite Amon movie of the year?
Yes, I would like to. Thank you very much. You know, we talked about this movie ad nauseum. We talked about this movie during episodes that were not about this movie. We picked other movies based on our love for this movie. And so my vote for my favorite Amon movie of the year is none other than Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah. I knew it was heading in that direction. Yes. I was like, no other movie fits the description that you're outlining.
I think we were like most excited about every element of this movie, from the costuming to the acting, apart from Keanu Reeves, who you compared to a napkin. But I personally had not seen this movie in probably 20 years. So like rewatching it and then like talking about it so much with you guys was such a highlight for me. I had forgotten what a masterpiece it was, how downright like horny and beautiful and just it was a delicious movie from start to finish. And that one gets my emphatic vote for this year.
Excellent.
Thank you, Allison with a Y.
And it inspired us to watch Dracula 1979, which I know you loved as well.
Hated that one, but loved its predecessor. Actually, not predecessor, but, you know, the better one, in my opinion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, in all of our opinions, because we ranked all the Dracula movies that we knew.
We did. Yeah.
Many inspired conversations came from this.
And we're going to do that even more on the exciting upcoming spinoff podcast, Every Dracula Adaptation Ever on Every Service.
On every streaming service there ever was.
Which is something I'm never going to do, but I'm always going to be fascinated by that idea of a podcast that just breaks down every Dracula adaptation.
I'm legitimately thinking about it, listen.
Oh, well, I mean, if you do it.
I know who I'm calling.
Hit me up.
Yeah. Hit me up. That won't be hard to do. You guys live together.
Well, I'm looking at you too, I.
Yeah. You know, I'm down. Let's fucking do it. Give me like a week to feel a little bit better and then let's go. Okay, passing the baton to you, Patrick. What was your favorite or best Amon movie of the year?
Yeah, so this was a weirdly hard one to pick because, sort of unusually for this podcast, we've watched a lot of just like legitimately great movies this year. And it's kind of insane to look at a list that includes, I mean, among other things, fucking Psycho, like one of the greatest movies, let alone horror movies, of all time. And not pick that, or not pick any of the other amazing movies that we watched this year. But I'm going to go with one that felt very, I don't know, just appealed to me on a very personal level. And it's Mononoke, the movie, Phantom and the Rain, which Allison with a Y, you called a few days ago that was going to be
I knew you were
going to
pick it too. You loved this.
I did. I absolutely loved it. I want to say I'm pretty sure it's the first anime we've watched for the podcast. And it was such a special one to me. It was just gorgeous. The art was really unlike anything I've seen in an anime before. The sort of mythology that was developed in the movie was really, really fascinating and original and unique to me. I loved the way it kind of played with abstract imagery to depict sound and emotion. It was very unsettling. And it also had a really interesting emotional storyline that really hooked me. I wound up watching a bunch of the show, and now giving out this award is reminding me I think there's another movie out now that I need to catch up to as well. But this was just one of the most truly singular, just completely unique things that I've watched for this podcast in general. So I couldn't not hand this award to Mononoke, the movie, Phantom in the Rain. Sorry, Alfred Hitchcock, you know, you're fine, I guess, but I'm going to go with anime. Allison with a Y, how about you? Favorite Amon movie of the year?
This really was a tough one. I kept kind of going back and forth between a few of them, but I think ultimately I have to give it to Dead Talents Society.
Ah, nice.
Because that movie was so surprising. It had everything. And truly, I mean, it was so funny and also so emotionally powerful, and it was snappy, it was engaging, it definitely had its, like, you know, kind of like spooky, fun moments. I loved everything about this movie. It was kind of like the gem of the year for me, where I went in with like pretty low expectations, just because I sometimes, admittedly, because I'm more of an auditory person, I struggle with the foreign language films. I feel like there's a lot that I miss having to focus in on the captions. And somehow, it still ended up on top for me, even with that kind of personal barrier that I have. It was just a wonderful movie. It's one of those movies that, like, I really think anybody who enjoys the horror genre, enjoys, like, I guess particularly the expansive nature of the horror genre and how much it can include, I think it's one that people really should watch. I think it will surprise a lot of people. And I loved it.
That was my number two pick. Yeah. I loved it too.
It was so good. Yeah,
that's a great pick. I mean, you know, I said we've watched a lot of genuinely just great movies this year, and movies that I knew were great, like, you know, our critically acclaimed Psycho, Bram Stoker's Dracula, whatever, very beloved movies going into them, Bone Tomahawk, Autopsy of Jane Doe, whatever. These are all generally very well regarded movies. Dead Talent Society, I'd never fucking heard of.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there was a tremendous amount of like critical response to the movie available online even. And so it was, you know, it's one of those like classic Amon movies for me where it's like, I never, ever, ever, ever would have watched this if not for this show. And then it turned out to be like this genuinely beautiful, really funny, really creative, heartbreaking masterpiece.
Yeah,
that was wonderful.
Like, I kind of want to rewatch it.
Yeah,
like I'm already there where I'm like, yeah, I'd rewatch this one. But yeah, so those were the favorites. Let's move into the least favorite Amon.
Wait, Allison with a Y. I just want to mention real quick, you know what was on my short list?
What was on your short list
for best? The Dead Don't Die.
Okay, I thought about it. I really did. I was like, I almost wanted to make it my favorite just to spite the haters.
Yeah, yeah. Our mutual hot take of the year, I think, is that that's actually a pretty good movie.
It's actually a pretty good movie.
I'm still delighted that we have an episode called In Defense of the Dead Don't Die, because that was so, in my opinion, unfairly maligned.
Agreed.
But yes, back to things that are fairly maligned.
Yeah, this category is for the ones that we, I think, very rightfully... maybe in some cases had contempt for.
Screwed with prejudice.
Screw with prejudice. So to get us to kick off this category, Patrick, what was your least favorite or most hated Amon movie of the year?
Well, I think this is a great moment. I was talking about Old Lang Syne before, and preamble time. But I'm entitled to it because it's my final episode.
Take all the time you need.
We used to drink a lot on this show, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really for quite a while. Like, definitely toned that down for quite a while, even in the Chris and Steven era. Toned it down in this current era. But you know what? I'm having a few drinks today because it's New Year's Eve and it's the final episode. So, back to what I was saying earlier, I'm about to crack this Labatt to round out my glass of Auld Lang Syne. Here's a little crack and a little cheers on mic for y'all and for our favorite Labatt fan, former co-host Chris. Oh, that was crisp. Oh.
That was nice. Labatt's gonna hit every time.
You know what? I had a Labatt the other night. Coincidentally, while I was screening Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis.
Oh, when you and Chris watched it together?
With Chris, yeah. Which, damn, talk about a horror movie. That's a wild, wild ride. But I drank the Labatt and I was like, that's pretty good beer.
Mm.
That's actually quite refreshing. But anyways, I needed this Labatt right now because I'm about to go full cloyne.
Oh, no.
I knew this was somebody's least favorite movie. I thought it might be Wise, but let's hear it.
My least favorite movie of this year by a long stretch was Clown. if you listen to this episode, I think it's fair to say I reserved some special vitriol this year for Clown. I did some research before we recorded this episode. I went back and listened to a bunch of movies where I was like, I don't remember what the hell this was about. I remember being lukewarm at best on it. Let me just listen to the episode and refresh my memory. There were a bunch where I was like, this was kind of mediocre. Clown sucked. I had such an unpleasant experience with Clown. There was nothing I liked about it except for some design choices as far as the clown transformation. It was a completely unpleasant movie with no redeeming value. It's one of those things where, you know, we used to talk on the show about like watching a movie and feeling like you're interfacing with psychopaths while watching the movie. I felt that way watching Clown. Screw it with prejudice. Worst movie of this year. And one of the worst I've watched for the podcast in general.
Oh my God, I gave it a view it. I love
you
it.
Did? That's right. That was great. That was a Joker choice. That was a coin choice right there.
It was. That was a real clownish, clowny choice.
You went full
attack
coin.
Attack of the clones.
I went full coin.
Allison with an I. What was your least favorite of the year? Definitely not Clown.
No, and you know, not Dracula 1979 either, because I didn't dislike much about that movie except that actor who I hope to never see him in anything again. Sorry, Frank. I think he's Italian too, so I feel bad saying that. It's like I'm turning my back on my people, but
I mean, he was not so low key canceled a few years ago, so chances are good of you seeing him in nothing ever again.
Great. Yeah,
fair. You know, I feel like I really enjoyed reviewing all these movies. I didn't like hate anything, especially with the passion and fury that you hated Clown. But one of these made me feel just like ugh, and like I think it just bugged me, the cartoonishness of it and the gay panic of it all. And that was Secrets in the Hot Spring.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
The gay panic of it all, yeah.
For whatever reason, when you said gay panic, I at first went to, what was it called, A Haunted House?
Oh, God.
Oh, no, I loved that one. But that was like doing it on a parody. You know, it was doing it on purpose. This one, sure. I don't even know what it was doing. And the Scooby-Doo of it all, it was just like... I just felt like it had a cute, I think we said it had like a cute premise that just got lost behind the weirdest like choices. And I just couldn't figure it out. I didn't want to. And I just felt dumber after having watched it, I think. So, you know, not really screw it with prejudice, but more just like that was stupid.
Mm-hmm. That's an outstanding choice. That was high on my short list as well. That's one of those where it's a classic. Like, I watched it twice feeling like I'd missed something. And on the second watch, it was just like, no, there's just not much here.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we watched Secrets in the Hot Spring, had a horror ketchup, and then watched Clown. So it was like a bad, couple weeks there of choices.
That's brutal.
Yeah. Allison with a Y. Worst Amon movie of the year, in your opinion?
Clown was a close one for me. But and this one actually we reviewed also within that general time frame as y'all's picks too. Mm. I have to give it to Cobweb because really, the more I sat with that movie, the angrier I became.
Mm.
Because it had so much potential, and it just completely jumped the fucking shark.
Mm. I keep mixing that one up with something else. That was the one with Anthony Starr and Lizzie Kaplan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And, like, their child was, like, a literal fucking spider.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
The parents were abusive because
with, like, an old lady voice, even though it was a child.
Yeah, their child was Madame Web.
Yeah, it was... And I think why I have to give it my least favorite of the year or the worst of the year is because like I really thought it had so much potential and it had such incredible setup and it just fucked itself so hard. And it should have been a really, it should have been really good.
Yeah.
It should have been. The vibes were there. The tension was there. And then it was like, why don't I make the most bonkers choice in the fucking world and then completely take you out of everything that I just built up?
Yeah.
Well, and the wild thing when you refer to Cobweb's potential too is like, let's just remind ourselves that screenplay was on the blacklist, which is like, you know, a big industry thing where the best, supposedly best unproduced screenplays are ranked every year according to, you know, whatever handful of industry people. And that was on it. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, and I mean, to some degree, it's like, okay, I get it. You know, mm-hmm. like you said, the potential is there. There's some interesting stuff conceptually. And then it just, yeah, like you said, shits the bed incredibly hard.
Yeah. I just, the more I sat with that movie, the more I hated it. And I was angry because I should have loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with that cast, too.
Oh, my God. What a waste of that cast.
Love Anthony Starr. Love Lizzie Kaplan. From what I remember, the kid was even good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good pick.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So our next category is non-Amon related, just straight up best new horror release of the year. Our favorite horror that came out, this year, I guess, is the criteria. I'm worried that we're all going to say the same thing, but I'm also really excited that we all might say the same thing. So let's just see what happens, guys. Allison with a Y, you're up first. Best new horror release of the year.
The group think award of the year goes to
Sinners.
Yep.
This movie, I really need to watch it again, but it sat. It's one of those movies that stayed with me and made me think so much about it afterwards. And thinking about how, like, the inter, sorry, I just like, it gives me a lot of feelings. Everything about it was amazing. The acting, the story, the fucking soundtrack. Like, it was, the movie was a spell. It was a fucking spell. And I love how many conversations were happening around it in regards to, you know, where we come from, our ancestors, and how we relate to them, and in the ways that so many of us don't have connection to them, and what that means, and how that harms us. And like, it was a cultural moment, and I was so happy I was there for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and conversations around oppression and Jim Crow and the Irish, you know, plight. And oh my God, when you said it was a spell, that's the perfect word for it. I did a rewatch, I don't know how long ago, maybe 2 months ago, and was like bouncing up and down in my seat the same way I was the first time. Just like, I love this movie so much. It is so good. I never want it to end. And then like knowing how it ends, it was like, I was watching it with someone who had never seen it before. And I was just like, oh my God, this part is so good. Wait, did you catch that? Like, well, let's rewind it. It's like the most obnoxious movie watching partner. But this movie was perfect. This movie was one of my favorite horror movies. This was my favorite movie of the year, period.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely one of my favorite movies of the year in general.
Yeah.
It is so, so good. I have been thrilled to see it show up on a lot of year-end lists, including like at the top of a lot of year-end lists, not of horror movies, but of movies this year in general, which is awesome. I'm jealous of your rewatch. I haven't gotten to see it since it was in the theater, and I really need to revisit it on I think it's on Max still.
Yep.
You know, now HBO Max, soon to be Netflix.
Ugh.
So
but
weird.
No, it was a wonderful, wonderful movie. Wonderful theater experience. Like, goddamn, you know, that scene was insane to see in the theater and to feel in the theater and to hear in the theater. Just an absolute masterpiece. Since we are giving out the Groupthink Award on this one, I also want to give a shout out to some other things that came out this year super briefly because, like, yeah, we all picked the same movie, but this was actually a pretty damn good year for new horror releases.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah,
absolutely.
Most importantly, I want to give a secondary shout out to Presence, which did come out this year and is just an absolutely stunning movie that I don't think enough people saw. I don't know what streaming service it's on now, but Steven Soderbergh's Presence is absolutely killer. A movie
I have not seen
told,
it.
Yeah, a movie told from the perspective of a haunting spirit in a house, and it makes the absolute most of that premise that's extremely hard to execute, I think, and it's wonderful. But I mean, Together came out this year. I fucking love Together. The Monkey was amazing. The Long Walk traumatized me and we both like love hated that for the same reasons, I think. And like one of my strongest memories of this year, just in general, is not only being in the theater and feeling so intensely anxious that whole movie, but then just like anxiety unpacking it with you in the parking lot for like a half hour afterwards, because it was like the same week as the Charlie Kirk killing. And it was just, it was the wrong week for
that
to come out. But killer movie. Frankenstein was great. 28 Years Later was great. Like, there was some really solid shit that came out this year. So good on you, new horror releases.
I have a couple honorable mentions, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it. Of course.
Bring Her Back was...
I still haven't seen it.
Amazing. Yeah, you listed I haven't seen Together or Presence. So that's going to the top of my list. But yeah. Bring Her Back, Weapons was Weapons so much fun.
Great Weapons, amazing, yeah.
It was an insane year for horror, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And to go back to Sinners, it's got a ton of Golden Globe nominations, and then it's a favorite for some of the big Oscar, some of the big categories at the Oscars, which this doesn't happen for horror.
Nope.
But,
no.
I mean, best soundtrack alone – I will be devastated if it doesn't win, but
yeah.
Anyway, why do you have some other favorites you want to mention from this year?
I think y'all mentioned everything that I would have mentioned. It was a really great year for horror films. I didn't see as much of the new releases as either of you did, but I'm really proud of the horror genre. And I think how far it's come and how people, to some degree, are taking it a little bit more seriously and understanding that it in itself, it is a very expansive genre, and you can tell so many stories and so many different kinds of stories through the horror medium, and it can still be very effective. And it doesn't have to just be, I mean, listen, I love a cheesy, sloppy horror film, right? But it can be a very serious, legitimate genre as well for art and for telling stories. And I think in recent years, and especially this year, you know, we're seeing that more and more. And it's just cool. It's cool to see it becoming a more respected genre of film.
Amen.
And before we move on from Sinners, because you both talked about the soundtrack, and particularly you, Allison with a Y, talked about the soundtrack, I feel like I need to just like narc you out for a second here.
That's fine.
The other night we were doing a thing that we do. We've been doing since COVID, basically. We started this during COVID because, you know, you're bored during COVID and what are you going to do? And now we still do it on occasion, but we'll do what we just call YouTube or living room karaoke, where you just bring up, you know, karaoke tracks on YouTube and sing to the two or three or however many very small crowd of people are in your living room.
And love that. Love that.
And you karaoke'd Wild Mountain Time the other night.
Or on the soundtrack, it's called Will You Go, Lassie Go.
Oh, right.
Though it's traditionally called Wild Mountain Time.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, which is such a beautiful song.
Oh, it is.
But I think that just really encapsulates the hold that movie, and specifically the soundtrack, has had on your psyche this year.
Well, it's funny. Everybody's like music wrapped for the year. I am more of a book and podcast listener, but, you know, I do love music as well. And on my wrapped, Will You Go, Lassie Go off of the Sinners soundtrack was my number one song of the year. And the Sinners soundtrack was my number one album of the year.
Whoa.
Man, we end this year-end episode by playing it out with just Auld Lang Syne instead of the Amon theme, which I was going to do this year, which would have made me cry in the context of our final episode. But I feel like I just thought about playing it out with that song instead. Yeah,
that's really going to make me cry.
Which choked me up even more. So yeah, I think we're doing that.
I have to second that sentiment. Why I am now remembering that I rewatched Sinners in October because then I was Mary for Halloween, which zero people in public got. They thought I was Carrie, which was so funny because I realized how few people have seen or understood the context of my costume in Ann Arbor, which was super shocking.
Yeah.
Super weird and shocking because it was all over like social media. People were doing it on TikTok. There were like great Mary costumes. But that soundtrack was on fucking repeat for, I'm not kidding you, the entire month of November for me. That's all I listened to.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like Rocky Road to Dublin, though. It was like,
Yeah. Well, it's funny. The kid I nanny will do like dance time. We'll do like a little dance party sometimes. And his favorite song for me to put on is Rocky Road to Dublin.
He loses
his mind.
Is that the one where they're all like kind of creepily? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. They've got the dance circle outside. Going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He just goes so hard when I put on the Rocky Road to Dublin. Because it's so fun. It is so good.
It's so fun.
Oh, God bless. I really need to rewatch the movie. And frankly, I don't think I've listened to the soundtrack all the way through. I need to do that.
That too. Is a treat. Yeah.
It is a treat.
Shit. All right. Well, now that the Sinners groupthink love fest is over, but I mean, hey, props Ryan Coogler for making a movie that was just like so absolutely unfuckwithable.
Yeah.
That not only it was all three of our favorite movies, but it's so many people's favorite movie, including like people who are not, you know, horror community, you know, brainwashed motherfuckers are like, yeah, this was an amazing film. Awesome. I mean, Ryan Coogler, goddamn.
Thanks, Coogs.
Thanks, Coogs.
batting 1,000 in his, you know, relatively short career. Anyways, we're moving on to best horror discovery, favorite horror discovery of this year, which just means, again, horror in any medium, doesn't matter if it's a movie or not, from any year that you discovered this year, and it just really hit with you. Allison, with an I, would you like to lead us off?
Sure. I look back through all the books that I read this year, which I read 12, which I'm proud of. Last year was 13. So I consistently average about a book a month, which is fine. I wish it were more, but it's not nothing. So, but there was a book that stood out to me that I don't think I ever talked about with you guys. A book called The Lamb by Lucy Rose. And at the risk of spoiling it, because you find out pretty quickly what it's about, I will say we as a group got into some light cannibalism topics this year together. And I happened to pick this book up right after we watched. So I read this book really recently, Bones and All. Not knowing what it was about, like just seeing it on a lot of lists, a lot of favorite horror of the year lists. And oh my God, I could not put it down. Total page turner, absolutely beautiful, beautiful work of art. Follows a mother and her daughter, her young daughter. And basically her mother has raised her daughter to be an eater. And it's very much like the same kind of affliction that the eaters have in Bones and All. And so I think to read this book unexpectedly, such a short time after watching the movie, I was sort of still in that world, you know, with them and sort of like had a lot of empathy. And it ended up being great. So, you know, I will say I there was so much good horror this year. I think I could talk about the movies that we just listed all day long, but this one was kind of a lesser known and from a different medium. So That's my choice. The Lamb by Lucy Rose. And I'm giving that a view it. We never came up with a category, with a ranking system for books, but it's a read it. It's a read it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it was. It's lovely and actually heartbreaking and just super well written. Easy read. Okay, Allison with a Y. Favorite horror discovery of the year.
So I would have to say mine is also a book. Kind of broadly, it's been getting into reading horror books, horror novels. That's been really delightful. Or for the most part, actually listening to the audiobooks. And I've really enjoyed that. But the one that has really stuck with me that I'm thinking about revisiting was Gallows Hill by Darcy Coates.
Mm.
That was such it really sat with me. And I keep thinking about it still. And I loved the entire setup, the buildup, the action, how like, you know, I remember the moment where my jaw just dropped open while reading it and being like, what is going on? And the conclusion and kind of all the underlying themes to it. I mean, for lack of better term, has like kind of like haunted me. And it was, you know, it was just one that I saw on a list of, you know, horror books that somebody was reading, and I gave it a listen, and I'm so glad I did. It's like I almost feel like every horror novel I have borrowed and listened to since, it's been kind of like attempting to get that feeling again that it gave me. And nothing has quite lived up to that experience, and I'm so delighted by having just kind of decided to listen to that. Some stories just stay with you, and that is one of those for me. Yeah,
nice.
Patrick,
I was curious about that one when you originally recommended it, and now I'm really curious to check it out again.
I would love if you did, so then I could talk about it with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to read both your picks now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
So Patrick, what about you? What was your favorite discovery of the year?
I'm gonna go with a comic. You all know I love comics in general, especially horror comics, and I think my favorite of this year, my favorite that I discovered this year, but I believe it also began this year too. It actually did debut this year, was Exquisite Corpses by James Tynion IV, mm-hmm. and kind of an all-star cast of other writers and artists have been contributing to this thing in true Exquisite Corpse style. Mm-hmm. But I shouted this out on Horror Catch Up a few episodes ago, but I'll restate the premise real quickly again. There are basically 13 families that rule America. Not too far from our reality. Yuck, mm-hmm. yuck, yuck. And every 4 years, they decide which one of them gets ultimate control of the country by walling off a small town. They each pick their own serial killer, unleash the 13 serial killers into the town, and whichever one kills the most people and the most other serial killers, the family who has chosen that killer gets to rule America for the next 4 years.
Yeah. Yes.
It is fucked. The social commentary is sledgehammer, of course. Like, we get it. But it's not trying to do anything too deep. The serial killers are all incredibly designed. Each one is... You just want a franchise about each of these killers, and many of them don't last super long because of the concept of the whole thing. There are characters in the small town who are well-established and trying to fight this whole fucked up proceeding. You get very invested in them. So it's like this great mashup of kind of like old school B-movie slasher energy with some light political commentary, some good characters to carry you through it. And it's not done yet. I think they're about 3/4 of the way through the story. And I am fascinated to see where this winds up. I really hope that this small town ends up, you know, getting one over on these serial killers and the families who are paying for them to be there. but we'll find out sometime in 2026. It's just great. It kind of takes the pieces of slasher media that I do love, because I like the idea behind slasher sometimes, but then the actual movies or media frustrate me because they're incredibly shallow most of the time. Mm-hmm. But it takes those pieces that I do love about slashers and marries them to something a little more substantial, but still just fun reading. This has been a page turner for me. Every time a new issue comes out, I'm like, when's the next one coming out? Cliffhanger every issue. It's incredible. And you know what? A runner-up to The Haunted Mansion. And by that, I do mean the Eddie Murphy film.
No.
From 2003. No, I don't mean that. I mean, I did finally go on The Haunted Mansion at Disney World this year. And as with most things at Disney World, the Labatt is hitting. as with most things at Disney World, I was surprisingly won over. It was delightful. It's all the spooky-ooky things I want out of a haunted house. Was I actually scared? No. Was I surrounded by spooky-ooky graveyard haunted house kind of things that stimulated my imagination and made me just grin with delight the entire time? Absolutely. So good on ya, Walt. There's this kind of little known guy named Walt Disney. He's a little obscure. He did some really cool work like a few decades ago. You should check out his stuff. Haunted Mansion. It's great. But it is time to round out our awards with, again, the most important one of all, the Spirit of Jay Award. Fuck, I'll explain this for the last time. On our fourth episode of this podcast, we reviewed a movie called 1920 London, Fear Strikes Again, which features a character named Jay. Jay comes into the movie at kind of a pivotal point, and he is a penniless shepherd who is also like blinged out as hell, riz out the door. And he is a demon hunter, exorcist, who turns the whole story around. He seems to be a villain, seems to be a hero, seems to be a villain, ends up being a hero in the end. It's great. The actor who plays him is an absolute star, and he captivated all of our imaginations to the degree that we've continued to play this music cue that plays every time he does anything in the movie. And we've established the Spirit of Jay Award, which is funny. We're doing this year because neither of you have seen the movie, as far as I know, right? But I think you get the idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think this is the moment where we explain what the Spirit of Jay means to us. And I'll say, like, to me, it's always been a really badass character who I wanted to see more of. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, 1920 London, Fear Strikes Again was not enough Jay for me. He was so cool, such a fascinating character, really enjoyable, and I just wanted more. But we always differed in our definitions of what the Spirit of Jay meant, and that was part of the fun. So, I don't know, before we make our choices, how are you two who like only know Jay through the fucking dumbass meme that me and Chris and Steven have repeated for years and years? What does the Spirit of Jay mean to you, Allison, with a Y?
To me, okay. Two words, riz and mystery.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. What does the Spirit of Jay mean to you, Allison, with an I?
Man, I kind of like, I couldn't figure this one out for a while. It took me some time to think, like, okay, you know what? I get to have my own interpretation of that, especially since I haven't seen the movie that y'all referenced originally. I think for me, the Spirit of Jay is, like, empowered, maybe a little audacious, and maybe gone too soon.
Interesting.
Yeah, my pick's gonna blow you away, but again, like, because we needed, because I wanted more of that character, and they were, I feel, taken before I was ready to let them go.
Okay.
I'm so fascinated to hear who that is.
Okay, wait. I'm pitching it back to why. Why you go first?
Oh, gosh.
Okay. I do want to say first, though, I want to just like, y'all have a good reason for not having seen 1920 London Fear Strikes Again, because it's hard as fuck to find.
We tried to find it recently.
It was on Netflix for I don't know what period of time, and there was actually an English subtitle option on it, but I have tried to find that movie over the years. We dug it up on YouTube recently, mm-hmm. but no subtitle file. Like, it's all just in Hindi, which obviously, you know, presents some barriers to watching the whole thing. So it's one of, I mean, especially in our current era of, you can probably find whatever the fuck you want to watch somewhere for $5 at the absolute most. It's this weird, like, it's in the ether now. Yeah. Like, it's almost like I dreamt it or something.
Interesting. But, you know,
hopefully in 2026. That's my New Year's resolution. Is to
I'll find it. 1920 I'll find it, no
London,
problem.
Fear Strikes Again with English subs in 2026. But Allison with a Y, please.
Okay, this was a hard one for me. It was because it was between two characters, very solidly, and I feel like it's basically a coin toss for me.
You definitely have to say who the runner-up is, though.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I am giving the Spirit of Jay award to Makoto from the Dead Talent Society, who is the agent, the talent agent.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Oh.
He was a delight. He was so charismatic.
Yes.
He was a little mysterious. You know, we do learn more about him, but like I wanted his story. Like, I wanted a full movie of his story by the end. And of course, it it adds to the Spirit of Jay award that that movie ended with, like, his music video. Because he had this whole life, like, before he was just the talent manager. And I loved him. I loved him so much.
Amazing pick.
So Makoto gets my Spirit of Jay award, but I do have to mention the runner-up. And very different vibe, but I think very deserving, was Kali from Kal, who was like the spirit protector. He was mysterious. He definitely had Riz in a little bit more of a malevolent kind of way. but he's been on my brain this whole year for this award. But I ultimately did have to give it to Makoto, because I don't necessarily need more Kali, but I want more Makoto.
Yes.
And that was what really made that choice, solidified that choice for me.
Would watch a prequel of just where Makoto came from and how he ended up an agent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I want that. I want that story. I want that movie.
Makoto is such a good pick. I had a great experience with Dead Talent Society, but had kind of forgotten about that character. He was awesome and such a great Spirit of Jay. I'll have more to say about Kali in a minute, but Allison with an I, who is the Spirit of Jay?
Oh my God, you guys are not going to believe this. So
I'm stoked.
I'm going to lose it if it's Cloyne.
No, oh, God, no.
Yeah, no, I rage quit. The episode would end now if it was Cloyne.
Oh, God. I think we were also collectively happy when that movie just ended, because if it was real life, we're just putting him out of his fucking misery. Poor man. My pick is completely different. It's pretty fucking unhinged, I'm not going to lie.
Yes.
It's from a movie that I really loved that we watched. And it is Zosia from Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight, Part 2.
Oh, my God. Oh, my fucking God.
So I picked a woman. I picked a woman because that's how we do. That's how the Allisons, that's what we bring to the table this year.
I did not pick a woman for it, but
That's okay. Zosia's character, I thought, was fucking hilarious. I thought she was a total badass. I think she was angry for all the right reasons. Mm-hmm. The end of the day, she just wanted somebody to hang out with, which is why she changed Adas to hang with her. And I just remember like laughing out loud at some of the exchanges between them when she's teaching him how to zombie. Mm-hmm. I think she was a really unlikely kind of mentor. And I just personally thought she was a savage bitch. And then she was killed so suddenly that I was like, I'm not done with her yet.
Mm. I don't remember this character. So, okay, so the main character was Adam at the police station. And this was not the coworker that he had a crush that I found creepy on, right?
No, that was Vanessa. Vanessa was
Zosha?
Zosha was the female zombie who was menacing, a nuisance to everybody.
And then she gets killed early in the movie. I have zero memory of this.
Yeah, so remember they're at the prison, and she has just killed the prison guards because Adas couldn't do it. Or she kills Vanessa, who's Adas's coworker, who we hated. Mm-hmm. And then she walks out of the prison and like gets, I think, one to the head, like out of nowhere.
Oh,
and we think that
okay.
there's more of a story for them.
Uh-huh.
And her death was just super jarring. So, oh man, I'm bummed that you don't remember her character.
I literally am going to go back and watch that movie that I was lukewarm about to remind myself, because this sounds like a great pick. I just have, I think, literally zero memory of this character.
Bummer. Well, that was my pick. I had a hard
time. That's a really good pick.
Thank you, Y. I had a hard time assigning this to anybody. But that's what I came. That felt right for me. So, yeah. Zosha.
Bless.
Bless up. All right, Patrick. Pitching it to you, Spirit of J Award. Your yes. last one.
Yes. My final Spirit of J Award. And I'm about to expand this in a radical and obnoxious way, but my main Spirit of J Award this year goes also to Kali.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I called this.
Yes.
As soon as Kali walked out of the fucking jungle with mm-hmm. his herd of tigers around him, I was like, oh, the Spirit of, like, call it. It yeah. was February or something.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's wrapped up. This is the Spirit of J. I mean, it was so Jay. Like, I mean, yes, if Steven and Chris were here, they'd be like, oh, you picked the other Bollywood movie you watched this year. Which, yeah, I fucking did, assholes.
But also, culturally relevant.
True.
Yeah.
To the Spirit of Jay.
But more importantly, Kali shows up like halfway through the movie, completely changes the proceedings, turns things upside down, and immediately just has that, as you said, riz and mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's a pretty good definition of Jay, or at least it's in keeping with my definition of Jay. And yeah, he just changes everything. He controls tigers. He's like an eco warrior.
Yeah.
He has that
eco terrorist, maybe.
Yeah. He has that weird blend of like hero and villain. You never know quite what he's up to.
Yeah.
Not going to get into spoilers for Call right now, but yeah, he has an interesting motivation in the end, and just an absolutely captivating figure that transforms the movie around him. And the, you know, Call was too long, but the mm-hmm. hour that he was in the movie was not enough for me. So, Kali, absolutely. But because this is my last Spirit of J Award, I'm going to be obnoxious and hand out a few Spirit of J Awards this year. There are a lot of people over the course of the 8 years of doing this podcast that absolutely, of course, represent the Spirit of J to me. And I just want to give them some shout-outs before we wrap this up for the last time. Neville Archambault, the Spirit of Jay. He has received the Spirit of Jay Award on this program before, but I want to give our dear deceased friend, star of 13 and 14 Cameras, who we completely and probably became friends with and would like text him as a result of reviewing his movie in a really unfavorable way. But we loved him. We loved him, his performance. And he was such a wonderful person, contributed so much to the show and so much to this experience, and I'll always treasure that. I want to give the Spirit of Jay to our dear friend to the north, Rowan. Our dear friend to the north, Exilia, our dear friend to the north, Colton, the whole It Slays podcast gang, thank you all for discovering our show, giving us a shout out many years ago, and creating this really beautiful friendship. You know, we've guested on each other's podcasts. Rowan and I still talk movies on a regular basis. I expect that to continue. And, you know, you all have been such a beautiful part of what we've done here. You are the Spirit of Jay. I want to give the Spirit of Jay Award to listeners who I've gotten to know personally through the show, which is just something that I never, frankly, would have expected to happen doing this. It was shocking to me that people listened to this at all, let alone reached out, let alone, you know, we become social media friends, let alone we talk all the time, you know, get beautiful Christmas cards from folks. And I'm not going to name every fucking name because there are a lot of you and I love you all. But of course, big, big, big shouts to Bree. You've been there for so long. Such a big supporter of what we do. Thank you for being the best super moderator we could ask for and best friend we could ask for. You are the Spirit of Jay. I'm almost there. I'm almost done. Spirit of Jay, all the folks who have co-hosted, guested on the show over the years, you've all brought so much to the show. Wonderful presence, wonderful discussions, which of course leads me to the two of you who started as guest hosts, and you were wonderful. Folks loved you on the show, and that's why I was like, hey, you wanna come and try and relaunch this thing with me earlier this year? And you were both wonderful, wonderful guest hosts. You've been wonderful, wonderful regular co-hosts, and thank you so much for doing this with me. And also, thank you so much for respecting my thoughts on why it made sense to end the show at this moment. I'm going to shut up in just 30 more seconds, but of course, finally, Chris and Steven, we were in this together from the start. You know, what is there to say that we didn't say last year? Thank you. Y'all are the Spirit of Jay. I'm done. I'm Jayed out. I'm Jayed out. I just played that sound effect like 17 times.
Patrick, you're the ultimate Jay. You've kept this.
Oh, shut up.
No, you've been the through line. You kept this thing going. You've had the belief and the passion and the love for it. And why and I wouldn't be here sitting here today feeling sad and wistful if it weren't for you giving us the opportunity just a year ago. So you are Jay.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That means a lot to me. I honestly was not fishing for that, but I appreciate it. With that sadness and wistfulness, you know, this is our last episode, but we're all still going to be out there in various ways doing our things. The Amon Discord is going to continue. I feel pretty confident saying that. You know, we all enjoy going out there and talking about movies, and it's free. There's no reason to shut it down.
Yeah.
So that's going to continue. There's a link to that in the show notes. Our social media is going to be up, at least for the time being. We will absolutely update you out there if we're working on anything new. I'm certainly still going to be making horror comics, and I'll let you all know about that out there. Also, insanely, I've already been talking to people about some other new projects. You might hear about those too, and if either of our Allisons have anything going on, we will certainly let you know about that out there as well.
Absolutely.
Allisons, any thoughts now that I've like rambled at length?
It's been an honor to be a part of this. I loved guesting on the show early on. You know, it's not a secret to the listeners that Patrick and I are partners, and I know Patrick well enough to know he wouldn't have asked me to be a part of this if he didn't believe, sorry, I'm going to get a little emotional. If he didn't believe that I would be a good co-host, and that meant a lot. Patrick is a firm quality control kind of person. He has high standards. And to know that, you know, he wanted me to be a part of this for the last year really, truly meant a lot, because if he didn't think I couldn't, if he didn't think I could do it, he wouldn't have asked me. Mm-hmm. And it's been so much fun. I remember my first time guesting on Amon in your old apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And
you what was know, your first movie? Do you remember?
It was Jason X.
Yes. We did a video.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I had so much fun and was, you know, a super fan of the show. And I remember Patrick and I started dating, and I listened to every fucking episode that was out.
As frankly,
psychopathic, frankly.
Yeah, as unhinged as doing a podcast about every horror movie on Netflix for 8 years. You know, you and all the other fucking psychos out there who have done that multiple times, you know, hats off to you. I'm calling calling to have you institutionalized.
And it was funny, like Allison with an I knew your voice and who you were before we ever met because of the podcast.
Yeah.
And so when I did meet you, I remember meeting you and being like, putting the face to the voice and the name and being like, wow, so this is the Allison.
The other Allison, that's on. Yeah.
And it was before I was ever on. And it was like, oh, the famous Allison who's guested on. Because you had like guested a couple times at that point at least.
Yep.
And that was such a delight. And, you know, and then like this year doing this with you, like getting to know you better. We've known each other for years now at this point, but like getting to, you know, hang out with you and chat with you and build a deeper friendship through this has been really, really wonderful. It's just, it's all good things. This podcast has been all good things. Yeah. And then even shout out to my best friend, Dr. Katie, who has been a regular guest on this show and holding her own. And, you know, I remember the first time she was on, we were both guesting together, and that was so much fun. And how she's like come to be known by the community as Dr. Katie. This is like the only instance, the show is the only time that she will accept being called Dr. Katie.
Which I think is Chris's fault.
Which is Chris's fault. But like,
more like Dr. JD, am I right?
It's been so much fun to like, you know, have my best friend be like a part of the journey too. And you know, this show to me means a lot of my favorite people. And that's like a really cool thing to have. So I'm going to miss it. You guys got emotional last time. I got emotional this time.
Yeah, I'm too sick to be sad this time.
That's fair.
You're already sad enough. Your baseline is just sadness for the past 12 days.
100%. I was thinking about my first movie, and I just found it. It was my first time guesting with you guys was Boys in the Trees in September of 2018. Oh, wow, yeah, so just 1 year into your podcast journey. And I had just met y'all. I'd met you, Patrick, and then I met Chris and Steven through you, and then I met Allison through you. Mm-hmm. And like, I love you guys. I mean, you know, friendships grow and change and evolve as you get older, and you figure out who are friends and who are bar friends and who are work friends. And I mean, you guys are like family to me, you know, but it all started on the dance floor of Outbar.
I was just about to tell that fucking story.
I've heard this story so many times.
I fucking love this story. I don't know if I've even told this to you. Do you know the story I'm about? Do you remember like exactly how we met?
I have to hear it.
I mean, I feel like, you know, whatever. We're in memory lane. I think this is going to be funny even to the listeners. And if not, I'll just cut it out. I'm gonna pull them in the next 2 hours and find out if it's funny before I release this.
We need to know. Yeah.
But no, we were at the gay bar, and I was
rest in peace, Outbar, by the way.
Oh, such a good gay bar. I was newly single at the time. Allison with a Y and I had not started dating, and you were there with a dear mutual friend of ours, and who is also single at the time, and you just walked up to me, and literally the first words out of your mouth were just, "Hey, are you straight?" And at the time, I mean, a lot has changed since then, which my answer to this question would have changed since then, but I was like, "Yeah, I am." And you're like, "Great, come meet my straight friend." At the gay bar.
We think you're cute. You know,
and it went from there. What'd you say?
We think you're cute.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, beautiful things came from that.
Oh, my gosh. Totally, totally. Yeah, I mean, 2018, that's a long time. You know, that's a solid friendship there. And, of course, Chris and Steven are still dear friends of mine, even though I don't see them nearly as much as I'd like to or talk to them nearly as much as I'd like to. You know, that's how I met y'all, was the three of you. And you guys were just so cool and into horror. And I was like, I found these weirdos that are like me and loud and proud about it. And I didn't have anybody really to talk to about horror. You know, maybe I didn't have any close friends that loved horror. I mean, that's been my plight my whole life, is like I'm one of the only people in my group consistently that's, you know, a slut for horror, and and I'm not sorry about it. So, but just to meet the three of you who are on this cool journey, and then to invite me along, and then to invite me again, and then to ultimately invite me to be a co-host, was just, like Allison with a Y said, the highest honor. Just so proud. And you know, I am so sad that it's ending, but I'm so glad that it happened, right? Like, not to sound hokey about it, but beyond that, you know, I now know that I still have a group of people I can talk horror with, and you're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It'll just be less formal.
Yep.
Yeah.
But just thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, Allison, for, I mean, we did, we became friends this year, you know, which is so fucking cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most beautiful thing about the two endings now to this show, Stephen, when I told Stephen that we were ending it for good, and this was a very timely reference, he said, "The end continues." the Spinal Tap movie that just came out. That was the subtitle, Spinal Tap.
Oh, the end continues. Funny.
Yeah. But the beautiful thing about both endings to this show, the one last year and now this one, is you know, there's no bad blood, there's no like, we can't fucking stand each other anymore. Yeah. We're done
no
with
way.
This you know, I hung out with Chris the other night, I talked to Steven all the time.
I was like, I see Chris maybe too much.
Yeah.
No, it's quite the opposite. Like, I feel closer to you guys than ever, and I don't think that's going anywhere. It's cemented now. You know.
Yeah,
agreed.
Exactly. I love you both.
I love you too. And I love all you listeners who truly have made this thing possible. You know, Chris and Steven said as much last year, but this would have ended way sooner than it did if not for this sense of like, people give a shit about this. Like, I stated this last year, but I will never not be absolutely flabbergasted that we heard from like folks during the pandemic who said, "Yo, your show like got me through this shit." Aww. And that blows my absolute mind. You know, for that to come out of Chris sending me an IM 8 years ago or whatever, saying, "What if we watched every horror movie on Netflix and did a podcast called Every Horror Movie on Netflix?" That's, you know, pretty amazing. And it's I'm really glad that I had the opportunity to do this as long as I did, for a number of episodes in a period of time that, you know, if at the outset of this, you would have told me, "You're still going to be doing this in 2025. I would have told you, "Get the fuck out."
Yeah, what? It's impressive. Impressive dedication.
That sounds awful, but it hasn't been awful. It's been absolutely wonderful. Mm. And thanks to all y'all for being part of it. I think that's as good a point as any to wrap up our final Amon Awards, our final episode, and this show in general. We don't have a movie to pick next week, but God damn it, we're going to be watching some horror next week. We're just not going to be talking about it.
God, there's so many more things I want to talk about.
I mean, we can just keep rolling. What do you got?
Yeah, let's just keep going. We'll just have to do it in person.
Yes. We'll be watching horror and we'll be talking about it on the Discord, on social media, in person, et cetera, in all these different forums. Thank you, everybody, for being part of this for the last time for every horror movie on Netflix. I'm Patrick.
I'm Allison with a Y.
And I'm Allison with an I.
Happy New Year.
We love you all.
We love you.
Thank you for being here.
And we'll all go together to Hawaii.